Welcome to 40 Plus Fitness for Women. I'm Lynn, your host, and today we are going to be talking about what kind of equipment choices you may want to make when you're doing your weight training, because there is a lot of discussion about, are dumbbells better? Are machines crap? What about rubber bands? Are they effective? Or cables? So we're going to talk about all of those. Kind of what are the things that are going on in this discussion? And also, I will literally go through some pros and cons that I have found from each of these methods. So then you can make a decision on what you want to be doing. So it is a gorgeous summer day here, about the first hot day that I have had this summer. Yeah, and I've missed all the good weather. So today I will be heading out for the beach in my bikini. I am really excited for that. Anyway, let's get on with the topic. All right, but I want to start from kind of the basics in the sense that what we're trying to do here, if you're listening to this podcast, you most likely are somebody who is a beginner weight trainer or been doing something at home or thinking about starting weight training. So this is not really directed to somebody who's like a bikini fitness competitor or, you know, someone who's doing this more seriously. This is really for women who are trying to start out. And one of the reasons that we are trying to get weight training, or why we want to do weight training when we're 40 plus, is that we want to build and maintain our muscles. Now, we know that this is super important, not only in the short term, but also in the long term. It has a lot of consequences for our health span, insulin sensitivity, how well our body works, all the things. So, spoiler alert, I'm going to come right to the conclusion of this, which is that it does not matter what equipment you are using to do your strength training. What does matter is that your muscles are feeling pushed, that they are feeling that they are being asked to do something which is outside of their comfort zone, beyond their current capabilities. Because by doing that, you will signal to them that, hey, you need to grow a little bit more, or at least stay at the level that you are at. And in practice, this pushing, it means that A, you're working close to failure. So that means that when you are doing a particular exercise and you're getting towards the end of the set, you need to be feeling like you've only got, you know, 3 or 2 or 1 reps left in the tank. You can even train to failure. And in some exercises, I would actually suggest that you do train to failure just so you get a sense of what that feels like. Because what I've at least noticed is that a lot of times failure is only like 1 or 2 more reps away. And it takes some experience to understand your body and to feel that, okay, I have 1 more left, or I have none more left. So yeah. But you need to be working close to failure. Those last 5 reps before you actually hit failure, where you really, I mean, even if your kid's life depended on it, you could not do another rep with good form. Those last 5 reps are the ones that stimulate your muscle. So you need to get close to failure. Okay, I think I said that 10 times. I'm moving on to the second thing. So the second concept that's super important is progressive overload. And that is that you're systematically stimulating your muscle a little bit more and a little bit more. And the reason why you need to be continuing to increase the stimulus is that when you're stimulating your muscle, it will adapt and it will get stronger. So if you give it the same stimulus for, you know, again and again and again, and it's already made that adjustment, it's already become stronger, well, then it's in its comfort zone. It's no longer being pushed, right? So it's not going to continue to adapt. It's already made that adaptation. And so to make sure that we are continuing to push our muscles to get stronger and bigger, you need to continue to add reps, add weight to progressively overload. And if you want to learn more about progressive overload, go check out episode number 18, where that's all I talk about is progressive overload. These are the two things you need to keep in mind, regardless of what equipment you're using, right? You need to be working close to failure and progressively overloading. And in fact, the easiest way to make sure that you are applying progressive overload is that you are tracking what you're doing. You're doing the same exercises over and over and over again, week after week, training session after training session, and keeping track, making sure that you are, you know, aiming for one more rep. And then when your reps get high enough, then you increase the weight so that you can see that you are actually making progress, that you are actually progressively overloading your muscle. And by the way, I have a free training tracker that you can download from my website, www.befitafter40.com/tracker. And the link's also in the show notes. So if you didn't catch that, just check out the show notes. All right. So those are the things that you really need to keep in mind. Now, that said, you can really work close to failure with any kind of equipment or without equipment at all. So let's start with rubber bands. Now, the thing about rubber bands is that they are, well, you can have different strengths of rubber bands or how resistant a particular rubber band is, but it is very hard for you to make sure that you are applying the exact same amount of tension on, you know, with whatever exercise that you're doing from session to session. So let's say you're doing bicep curls with a rubber band, with a long one, right? So one of these that's maybe like 2 meters long, tall, as long as you are tall, right? And you're standing on it, and then you've got your arms by your side, and you collect the rubber band into your hands, and then you start doing a bicep curl. Well, depending on how tight you make that, it is going to be harder or easier, right? You're going to have more or less resistance from that rubber band. Now, how do you write down how tight you made it this time versus last time? So I think that's the biggest challenge with the rubber bands, is ensuring that you are applying progressive overload, or even applying the same amount of tension between, you know, training sessions or between different sets that you're doing. And then the other thing about rubber bands is that it doesn't really offer any tension, any resistance in the beginning of the motion. So with rubber bands, it's always going to be a case of it offering you the most resistance at the end of whatever that movement pattern is. So if you're doing the bicep curl, it's going to be when, you know, your biceps are in their shortest position. So when your arm is the most bent, right? If you're doing a row, so you've got it like around your feet, and then you're holding on and you're pulling your elbows back to do a row, it's going to be offering the most resistance when your elbows are furthest back. Now, this is not ideal as far as if you think about when your muscles are the strongest. Your muscles are the strongest when they are longest, and the rubber band is offering them the most resistance when the muscle is the shortest. So it's working your muscle in the short position, which is maybe not the most ideal. So it's kind of got two not so great things about rubber bands. So they're not my preferred equipment, but they are super duper handy to take with you when you're on vacation. And for sure at home, there are certain things that just are not really that possible to do with dumbbells. So they, you know, you can use them in those cases. And I'm not saying that they are bad. I don't want to say that. You can work with rubber bands. I just think that they're more difficult to actually get very effective results from, because you can't really measure what is the resistance. You can't really tell that you are increasing the resistance over time. And plus, because it's working them in the shortened, well, it's challenging them the most, your muscles the most, in their shortened and weakest position and not in the lengthened position. Those are sort of the strikes against it. So I wouldn't recommend having rubber bands as your only exercise tool. Yes, get started with that. If that's all you can do, something is always better than nothing. But yeah, I don't think that you should be using them for like forever. Yeah. I have just released two do-it-yourself programs, one for at the home, the other for at the gym. Both have options to train 2, 3, or 4 days a week. You'll learn all the things that you need to know to get started. What weights to choose, what exercises to do, how to do each exercise, how to schedule them into your week, everything. Go check it out, www.befitafter40.com/DIY. So like do it yourself. Get started. Okay, then the second one is doing body weight exercises, so calisthenics. So there is a whole group of diehard calisthenics lovers. And I actually, one of the guys that I dated momentarily was totally into calisthenics. And he actually introduced me to calisthenics. And I have to say, oh my God, I have rarely met a guy who had such tight, amazing, firm, hard muscle. Yeah. But that could have been also partly genetics, right? But in any case, with the bodyweight exercises, you can definitely do progressive overload as far as you can add reps. Okay. Envision that you have push-ups. You know, you can do one push-up today, you do two tomorrow, you do three the next day, or pull-ups, or, you know, all those kinds of things. And but the thing with calisthenics is that a lot of times they then shift what exercise they're doing when they want to actually continue to challenge themselves. So you can imagine these guys, especially guys, they are like doing these and they can do like a million push-ups. They're not even challenged by their push-ups anymore. So they start to do push-ups with their feet elevated. Then next they're doing, you know, feet elevated a little bit more. And then they're doing push-ups on their hands, you know. Or you can combine, let's say they're doing pull-ups, then they can, of course, increase the number of reps of pull-ups. But then at some point that gets a little boring to do so many reps. So they can start adding more weight to the pull-up, like having some weights hanging on their waist or whatever. So definitely you can do those kinds of things. I don't know that much about calisthenics. So that was like my not knowing much, but having looked at it and been like, yes, I definitely can see that is a working option, but you kind of need to get acquainted with that or find somebody who can really help you with that. All right, then we go to the more kind of typical things that you'll see in the gym. One is barbells. So what I like about barbells is that it's easier to load heavier weights and to choose the precise weight. And here I'm kind of comparing that to dumbbells. So usually dumbbell selection at the gym, you know, it may be that they jump up by 5 pound increments after a certain extent, and that may be just too much for you. But in the barbell, you can put smaller increments. And so for example, if you're doing RDLs or shoulder presses or those kinds of things. Now, and I really like the Smith machine, which I don't know, someone may say that's not really a barbell, but it's like a barbell that is on a rack, if you've seen a Smith machine. And the good sides of it are, all right, on the one hand, well, Smith machines can be a little bit different, like they can be angled and this kind of thing. But basically, I like them a lot for the security that they offer. So, you know, you don't need a spotter so much. All you have to do is like kind of turn your wrists and then it'll catch on a hook when you run out of steam and doing whatever exercise you're doing. Plus, it allows for stability. So let's say you are doing those shoulder presses, then you don't need to think so much about like maintaining the balance. You can just focus on pushing upward. It gives a lot of stability. And then you can do interesting things like hack squats on them and reverse lunges, where you can load them quite heavy and you don't need to worry so much about your balance on the reverse lunge because you've got that Smith machine balancing you or helping you to maintain your balance, but you're able to put a lot of weight on. Of course, cons are that you have your hands in that fixed position so that it can cause issues for your joints. It depends so much on the exercise. The fact that you're holding on to one bar. So both your hands, for example, on the shoulder press, are pushing on that one bar to get it up. So that means that your body could theoretically cheat and use one hand more than the other. So check out my episode number 22 on unilateral weight training and muscle imbalances, because there I talk about this a little bit more in depth. But so it's a good idea that if you're using the barbell, that every now and again, you also work your both sides independently, unilateral training. So then we come to the one that I maybe like better than barbell is dumbbells, because they actually solve two of the bigger problems that I see with the barbell. First of all, both of your hands has its own weight and its own resistance. So you can't kind of cheat in the same way as you can with the barbell. And you can adjust your grip and your range of motion in a different way. So, you know, with a barbell, your hands have got to be like, they've got to be facing a certain way, right? Both your wrists have to be turned in the same direction, may not be so comfortable for you. But then when you take dumbbells into your hands, you can kind of turn your hands a little bit. They don't have to be just straight across from each other. You can turn your arms a little bit. And that can be more comfortable and it can be a more natural motion for you. And for example, with bench pressing, you know, everybody is in love with bench pressing with a barbell, but actually it's not maybe the most effective way to train your chest muscles. If you're using dumbbells, first of all, you can't cheat on the two sides, but also you can have a greater range of motion up at the top. So whereas the barbell limits you, when you push the barbell all the way up to the top, your hands are going to stay as far apart as they were at the bottom because you're holding onto the barbell, right? They're like stuck in that position. But if you have a dumbbells, you can start with your hands further apart at the bottom of the motion. And then as you straighten your arms, they can get closer to one another, which can activate your chest a little bit more effectively. But the bad part of the dumbbells is what I mentioned in the barbell section, which is that often you just have like certain set dumbbell weights and they may be, it may be just too much of a jump for you. I definitely have this problem that, you know, when you're doing smaller muscles, my gym has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then it goes to 12 and a half. Well, that's just too much of a leap, you know, and then after 12 and a half, it's 15. so that those are just too big a leaps for certain muscle groups. So that can be not so great. And then, you know, it's not offering resistance through the whole range of motion. There are going to be certain places in that range of motion, at least with certain exercises, where it's not offering much resistance at all. And that's going to be the same with barbells. So if you think about that aspect and think about like bicep curls, then it's going to be fairly similar with a dumbbell and a barbell, like where the biggest resistance is and where there is less resistance. For example, at the very top of the motion, there's going to be less resistance. Next, cables. So I love cables. I only got into using them like a year and a half ago, and I love them because they really allow for so much variety, especially if you have different attachments to choose from. I mean, if I had room for a cable stack at home, or really I prefer to have two cable stacks at home, I would definitely invest in that. I have dumbbells now, but yeah, I would have dumbbells and a cable stack and an adjustable bench. That would be my like home gym because you can get so much done with those three things. Definitely would get a cable stack long before I would get something like a squat rack. Anyway, on to the pros and cons. So the pro is that you actually get the resistance throughout the whole range of motion. So that's a good thing. You're working your muscle when it's in its longest state and its shortest state all the way through. Another thing that I find to be great about cable machines is it's easier to progress your weights in smaller increments. Now, sometimes the machines, they have, let's say, a 5 kilo increments for the particular weights, but you can kind of hack that by either putting dumbbells on top of the weight stack or hanging a weight, a plate, on the pin. And that way you can hack it so that you have smaller increments that you can progress by. You can do unilateral work, bilateral work, you know, so very versatile in that way. You can combine it with benches for greater stability. So for example, now I'm doing kneeling one arm horizontal rows with a cable stack. And it's getting to the point where my back has gotten so strong that I'm having trouble keeping myself in that position as I do the row. And next, I'll just be pulling a bench over to next to the stack so that I can get some stability from the bench. So I can just focus on the motion that I want to focus on and not have to worry so much about holding my body in place. So you can combine it with other things. Now, maybe what I see as a con here is that because the cable can move in so many directions and because there can be the various different heights and these kinds of things, because it is so versatile, it can take longer to actually get the exercises right, or let's say optimal, optimized. So if you're working with a cable exercise, I really, really recommend that you take a lot of videos of yourself doing the exercise and look at, you know, what's the angle of the cable? Where should it be? You know, all these kinds of things so that you start to get it right and don't get discouraged, you know, in the beginning. So yeah, it may take a little bit more confidence to start playing around with them. I started doing cable ab curls because I was starting to get so strong in my abs that I needed more resistance for that. And oh boy, it took me a while just to, you know, get the positioning down so I could really just use my abs and not start using my hip flexors and other muscles to move the weight. And that took a while. And I was taking videos and checking my form and taking another one and checking my form. And yeah, maybe somebody who's a little bit more intimidated in the gym would have been like, oh my God, I can't try that. I look stupid and, you know, all that. But so that's maybe the con of the cables. But there are also a lot of very simple exercises you can do there to start working up your courage. All right. And finally, the one that everybody's been waiting for, maybe, machines. So machines get a really bad rap. I actually started my weight training back in college with purely machines. My college, I went to Dartmouth College and I played lacrosse there actually. But lacrosse is a spring sport. So when I started in the fall, I had a few months before we really got into serious training in the winter and the spring. Anyway, so my roommate took me to the weight room and I started weight training and they had set up a ring of machines and it was set up in a clever way. So there was one machine for every muscle. So you go through that ring of machines and you've hit your whole body and you're done. And definitely super easy to Apply Progressive Overload, super easy to track everything, super easy to go to failure. It is, I can't think of a machine where you could actually like hurt yourself going to failure. Okay, I am for legal reasons going to say that okay, of course you can hurt yourself anywhere. Like if you're going to failure, you could pull a muscle, that kind of thing. But like dropping a weight on your toe or not being able to get out of the position like you could with a back squat, you're not going to do that on a machine, right? So anyway, so machines are really, really good. Plus they're very stable, right? They always tell you these are the muscles that you're working in the machine. And then, you know, that is pretty much what you are doing. You can work up in increments with the weight. Again, it's a weight stack. So sometimes you have to hack that, but usually the machine is designed to do that particular exercise. So it has also, the designers have thought about, okay, usually people can go up in this kind of increment, you know, when they're training this muscle. So yeah, that one's usually pretty good. And then the interesting thing about machines, you might notice that they have these kind of not quite circular, not quite oval, sometimes they're really funny shaped, where the cable or whatever it is, the resistance goes. And that is because they are endeavoring usually to match the resistance profile to the strength profile of the muscle that you're trying to work. So like they will be heavier, maybe at the bottom in the beginning of the exercise, and then lighten up a little bit at the top, or try to keep a consistent one. Of course, this is very dependent on the brand. Some brands are better than others at doing this kind of thing, but in that sense, it's a little bit different than a cable machine or using cables. One thing I really like is that you are able to more kind of target or emphasize particular muscles. So, for example, I had an issue with, I was not using my hamstrings. My hamstrings were really weak and it started to cause injury to me and pain. I was in pain from, not using my hamstrings. And a lot of the compound lifts and compound exercises, you can cheat by using your glutes instead of your hamstrings. But go on a leg curl machine and there's not a whole lot else you can do but use your hamstrings. So I think that is really nice. And then there are some people who are like, I don't want to grow my quads, for example. So, you know, you can use machines and then, you know, avoid growing your quads. There's, for example, a multi-hip machine at my gym. I think it might be called something else at some other gyms, but in any case, it allows you to work your glutes without really working other parts of your legs very much. So very much emphasize your glutes. So machines can be pretty clever for that kind of thing. And I guess from the cons perspective, a lot of times the work is bilateral. Unless you have a super fancy, expensive gym, there'll be like one pad that both of your limbs, your right and your left limb, are pushing on to raise the same weight, and they don't have their own weights. You can also have machines where each arm has its own weight, and that's good. But if you do have the machines where you are working bilaterally, then you can, in a lot of cases, also use the same machine to work unilaterally. So you just need to, be aware of that. And about the unilateral work, I will refer you to my previous podcast, which was podcast number 22. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. And then I guess the last con is that sometimes they're less available at the gym. So yeah, if your gym has like one of a certain machine and that one happens to be in your program, that can really be a bummer when, you know, people are really lining up for that. That happens to me sometimes, especially on the hamstring machine. We've got one seated hamstring curl. And but Then you can always decide to do your exercises in a different order. If you know that there's a machine that is particularly popular, you just do it when it's available, and instead of, you know, saving it for last and possibly not having it be available for you. Okay. So I really hope that wasn't too confusing. I mean, this is a topic which is so, there's so much nuance in it. And if it felt like, okay, I wrote my outline and I felt pretty confident, like, oh, I can state these things. But actually, as I was going through it now, recording this podcast, I'm thinking, yeah, but, you know, there's a lot here. But I hope that this helped a little bit understand kind of the pros and cons of different things. And personally, so if you were to train with me, join my program, one-on-one coaching, buy my independent do-it-yourself program, I use a combination. So I use dumbbells, I use cables, and I use machines. And I even sprinkle in barbells, right? So you will get to try everything. And I just had one client comment last time we met, because I was asking, so how do you feel about this? You know, is there something, would you like to do more? Because she actually has a machine at home. It's like, do you want to do more with that? She's like, no, I like that I have, you know, a little bit of the dumbbells and a little bit of the machine and, you know, different kinds of things. So, and I agree. I think it makes it interesting, right, to do that. So I do want to summarize, because I want to make sure that you come away like, the most important thing I want you to take away from this episode is that if your goal is to build and maintain muscle, and every one of you who is 40 plus, this absolutely should be your goal, okay? Any one of the modalities will work. Any kind of equipment will work, as long as you remember to push your muscles. You need to be pushing them out of their comfort zone so that they have the stimulus to develop. And pushing them means you need to be working close to failure or to failure and progressively overloading. So increasing your reps and increasing your weight over time. So if you remember nothing else from this episode, remember those. And the best way to make sure that you are progressively overloading is to track. Please follow one program for many weeks. I'd say minimum 10 to 12 weeks, doing the same exercises each week. Track what you're lifting, how heavy, how many reps. And then each time you go in, try to do a little bit more. So for example, if you went in this week and you did an exercise and you got, you know, 6 reps in each of your sets, next week, aim at 7. And then at the point where you're doing like 10 or 12 reps in each of your sets, challenge yourself by increasing the weight. So like that, you're going to progressively overload your muscles and make sure that you are getting some results over time. And remember, I have that free tracker. Check it out in the show notes. And yeah, with that, I will sign off for this week. Talk to you again next week. And in the meanwhile, happy training. Before you go, could you do me a favor? If you've enjoyed my podcast and found it useful, would you please go and give me a 5-star rating and review? It would really mean the world to me and help more women find the show. Thanks so much.